First case in our calendar, 02-1604, State of Ohio versus Cleveland Jackson. Mr. Stebbins.
Thank you, Your Honor. May I please reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal?
Yes.
This morning I'd like to address the proposition of law 1 that this court has faced and addressed frequently. And it's what to do, what is the trial court to do when faced with overwhelming negative and prejudicial publicity, pretrial publicity. Now, this court has often said that a change of venue is not necessarily required in these situations, that the taint of the publicity can be cleansed by a careful and searching voir dire to seek out biased jurors. But here, trial court was faced with exceptional publicity. But the trial court failed to permit the careful and searching voir dire that this court has suggested is the best means for cleansing these problems. Instead, the trial court severely limited the voir dire, and this was done primarily at the request of the state's motion in limine. No questions were permitted concerning the content or extent of the jurors' exposure to any pretrial publicity. No questions were permitted concerning what the jurors may have heard or learned about the trial of Jeronique Cunningham, which occurred in the same courthouse in the same small town just 3 weeks prior to this. Cunningham and Jackson were accused of committing this crime jointly. Every news article that covered this, and they were extensive, suggested that everything that was done in this case was done by Cunningham and Jackson. Yet, despite the fact that Cunningham was tried, convicted, and sentenced to death a mere 3 weeks earlier, no questions were permitted of the jurors to see if they had heard of this and what effect that might have on them. Because of these limitations, Jackson was not able to uncover any biased jurors. He was not able to develop proper challenges for cause. He was not able to demonstrate that a change of venue was necessary in this case. And he was prevented from obtaining information to intelligently exercise his peremptory challenges. As a result, he was denied one of the basic requirements of due process, and that's a fair trial by a fair and impartial jury.
Counsel, it is tough to get change of venue in any appellate court in America, and this court is no different.
I'm aware of that.
Here, I mean, there's lots and lots of murders for which there is enormous publicity, frequently very prejudicial to the defendant. Here, perhaps the thing that would be different is conviction of the co-defendant and people knowing that penalty. I assume that defense counsel was allowed to explore the potential jurors' views on the death penalty and to fully explore their other personal prejudices as they might approach this case.
They were permitted to explore to an extent their feelings on death penalty and in general other prejudices. The voir dire was somewhat restricted, more than most cases that I have observed, Your Honor.
This is not a case in which the jury is asked to make a big leap of faith on the facts. There are a lot of witnesses to what happened here.
This is correct.
Wouldn't a venue issue be more critical where the prosecution's case is sketchy on what transpired, and there's been a lot of publicity, filling in the blanks in ways that are incapable of being presented in the courtroom because it's hearsay or it just doesn't measure up. Isn't that the greater problem in terms of need for change of venue? And that is that when the trial unfolds, what the jury actually hears from the witness stand is far different from what they've read in the local newspaper or heard on the radio. And that wouldn't be the case here, would it?
No, well, I don't think that is the standard, Your Honor. I think that the rules concerning change of venue in impartial jurors are the same regardless of the level of proof that the state has. I don't think there's a harmless error analysis that can be put to this. I mean, the Supreme Court, United States Supreme Court opinions do not suggest that. I mean, they analyze the facts, they analyze the publicity, they analyze the level of voir dire, but they don't look at whether he can be found guilty or not. In fact, in Morgan versus Illinois, they suggest that the apparent guilt of the defendant is irrelevant to a determination of whether there should have been a change of venue or whether he's entitled to a fair and impartial jury. So I don't think.
Well, is the critical element that differentiates your case and causes you to lead off with that argument?